Hi, I'm Dr. Bud Pearson. Welcome to Oregon Crossroads, where we talk about interesting topics of the day with very interesting guests. And I have a fabulous one today. And it's always focused on freedom, so we can live the way we want to live, and prosperity, because who doesn't want a great, prosperous life? And so today, I have a great friend and public servant and citizen, Mr. Kevin Cameron, who's our county commissioner, one of our three county commissioners in Marion County. And Kevin is, if you know about him, he's a successful businessman. He's been in the restaurant business, which is hyper competitive and difficult, and he's been very successful there. And he's dedicated a huge part of his life to public service as a legislator and as a county commissioner. And if you get to know Kevin, what you'll know is he's in it to make people's lives better. That's the only reason. It really is. And it's interesting to meet someone who really feels that way. And you only get to know that about people when you interact with them outside of like the arena, and you see how they operate. And again, Kevin is there to make your life better. So it's fun to have him here today and talk about some interesting things. And I'm going to go ahead and kick this off with kind of what got me to ask Kevin to speak today is about the debacle of the utility PG&E in California. Now, I'm an old Californian. I've been up here 26 years. I kind of got that out of my system. I'm so happy to be in Oregon. But PG&E is a public utility. Utilities were set up to give us low cost, reliable energy. They got to stay on task. They have some investor money. There's an investment return. You think about utility stocks, low return, but solid return. And so PG&E is this huge utility in California that has been marred by a couple of things. One is, some years ago, a street blew up in a suburb south of San Francisco because the line wasn't maintained, the gas line, adequately. So it blew up the whole street and killed people. That's kind of unacceptable. And then more recently, you're hearing about rolling blackouts because you have, in some places, 100-foot towers with power lines on them falling down, wires coming off, and the forest being set on fire, and you have like whole towns being wiped out by infernos because the utility can't maintain its infrastructure and its mission of delivering reliable, low-cost power in a safe way.
Right.
And then you have some interesting conflicting information about how is the utility being driven? Is it staying focused on its mission, which is reliable, low-cost power with some return to investors, or is it going off in different politicized directions and not staying on its core mission? So that's where we're going to start. That's my introduction, and I'll ask Kevin to comment. Kevin?
So I think, Bud, thank you for having me. It's good timing. I was just with Maria Pope, who's the CEO of RPGE, not PG&E, which I think people need to make sure that they understand there's two different companies.
Correct.
There. And you talked about their mission and what they are focused on. You talk about these rolling blackouts. It was interesting, you know, last week, I think it was, or 2 weeks ago, California had 600,000 homes without power. They shut off the power to prevent some potential fire if there was winds. What PG&E here is doing, she says, we are able to, if we have to, shut down only 60,000 homes. We're focused on technology that allows us to be able to minimize those things. They also, I was in a presentation, this is good timing, I was with the Association of Oregon Counties, presentation from the utilities, both our large utilities were there, PacifiCorp and PG&E, and they gave presentations where they have actually gone out through the state and highlighted potential areas of forestation that they have to be very cognizant of, and actually go in there and make sure the trees are trimmed. And they showed a picture on a camera that showed a something up on one of those large towers that was just hanging there, and there was a cotter pin that was missing. I mean, their inspections now with the technology that we have is getting very detailed. So I think one of the things here in Oregon is our utility, at least our main utility, is really focused on maybe some of the mistakes that were made down there. But they are more focused on what you just said, driving power on a consistent basis and in a safe manner. They have challenges. There's definitely challenges, especially when you start to look at renewables, when you look at wind, because most of the wind in Oregon blows at night. We can't store it yet. They are doing some battery things. And then you have solar during the day. And then They spent, I don't know how many millions of dollars was spent trying to get another transition line from the east side to the west side. Try to put in a transition line now. So everybody wants power. Everybody wants to, you know, the social thing is to move towards electric cars. Well, if you're out of power for 5 days, your Tesla's not going anywhere, right?
Correct.
So I think that's a challenge that people need to understand, that there's a balance there that our utilities need to, work. And what I asked, what can we do to help? Well, it's education. It's education of legislative body. It's education of our constituents on, you know, what they're actually doing to try to deliver that power on a consistent basis. And, you know, it's these lines are coming from all the way from California, Arizona. Power is moving. Mm-hmm. Power moves at the speed of light. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, it can go that. That's where it's moving. So.
So hello, first world. First world is reliable power that doesn't get cut off. Third world, you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. So again, leaders in the energy industry and in government, we're first world in America. Mm-hmm. Do your job.
Yep.
Do your job. And again, it needs to be reliable, and it needs to be safe, and it needs to be low cost. Because when energy costs get high, when we talk about our prosperity, one issue is how much you get paid. The second issue is how much does it cost for you to live? And decisions are made at a leadership level or government level in ways that can raise that cost, that basic cost of living, and then our lives are diminished. So government leadership, political leadership, we have a task to do, and we need to stay on task.
Yeah.
Changing a little bit here, gears, so let's talk about Covanta.
Right, because that's related to power.
That's related to power. So let's go into Covanta. So Covanta is obviously it's an important way to try to take waste and turn it into power. Mm-hmm. And if you look at this, I've been reading about, whenever I get ready to do these, of course, I do a little bit of reading so I don't seem so dumb. And so reading about Covanta as a company, it has 50 sites around the world of turning basic garbage into energy. And it generates enough energy to provide, I think, a million houses a year of energy throughout the world, which is not a
here in Marion County, that facility will power the city of Woodburn, for example.
So, right, it's not inconsequential.
Right.
And again, and interestingly of late, there's some trouble because at the last legislative session, there was a request for energy credits, translation, more money, subsidy, to make it work economically.
Renewable,
and that got blocked because, again, renewables are not cheap. This is not the cheapest way to do things, but this is a way. And I notice they take medical waste, because we do a lot of medical waste. I'm an oncologist, we got a lot of medical waste, and they turn that into energy. And then the county has come up with a plan to keep this going for another year, it sounds mm-hmm. like. Mm-hmm. And while we try to get the 2020 legislature maybe to be reasonable and to help us. So I'll introduce it that way. You tell us what's really going on.
So yeah, I think you described Covanta really well. They're a waste to energy facility. You know, I always make sure people say it that way because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. But let's just talk about waste, because I think the first thing is, and I went through the master recycling class here in Marion County, and the first thing is to reduce. I mean, we need to be conscientious of what we're buying when we buy, you know, large packages, or look at Amazon, right? In fact, that came up with the president of PGE. Everybody wants a package delivered, but nobody wants to build a road, right? Mm-hmm. I think reducing it first, and then reusing it, you know, taking your bags and reusing those, and then the last thing is to recycle, and then what's left, we've got to dispose of it some way. And when you look at the hierarchy of waste on a national basis, Europe looks at it this way, national hierarchy, as well as 36 other states, the best way to get rid of waste is to turn it into energy, not landfill it. So there is a hierarchy that says waste to energy facilities are better and preferred over landfills. There's something going on over here in the legislature, though, that they don't understand that. And the challenge that we have with a plant like Covanta is that it's just like the pipe on your car. We can stick a measuring device on the back of your car, whether it's electric or gas, and you can measure the exhaust. You can measure everything that comes off of that car. That plant, you're measuring everything that comes out, and it is totally monitored 24/7 a day. So you know exactly how much CO2 is going to come out of there. But you go back down to a landfill, and unless you totally you know, put a, what, like a pool cover or something to collect everything that's coming out of there. You can't, you can't measure the total methane that's coming off. And methane is much more damaging to the environment than the CO2 that's coming out of Covanta.
Let me interrupt one second. I'm gonna let you keep going because that's an important point. But in California, they are taking on this measurement of methane, and they've been doing this for several years by flyovers and precise things. And it turns out the leading source of methane in California isn't cows, it's landfills.
Right.
They got landfills up here producing methane, which is so damaging to our environment, carbon production. Then you have cows down here and you have other things. So when our legislators are thinking about, they don't want to combust our waste and
turn it into electricity.
And there's going to be some CO2 production, but when you put it in the landfill, there's going to be a lot of CO2 production coming off of methane.
So that's absolutely the flip.
Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt. That just came out, and they're like shocked.
Right. Right. So if you take that whole system, so we recycle, you know, as much as we can. We put the rest into there. And then you get the energy out of it, and then the ash that comes off of it has been cleaned, all the metal's been taken out of it. So think about this: you're taking that garbage to a landfill, you're not getting the metal out of it.
Correct.
We're taking ferrous and non-ferrous metals out of it. Forget how many tons. I wish the experts were here to tell you, but recycle all that gets reused, and then the ash goes down to Coffin Butte, and they use it as a daily cover. So in a landfill, they have to cover a landfill every day with so many feet of dirt.
Right.
Instead of dirt, they're taking our ash. We pay them to take it, though. It costs us money to send it down there. So it's a complete system that, if people really understood it, it's really, as Commissioner Brentano would say, tell you, it's probably the best it's number one in the state, but maybe even in the nation, the system that we have. That's a challenge for us.
It's so logical, it's so common sense.
Right.
The idea that you would basically break something down to a minimal size, save everything you can out of it, and while you're doing it, generate energy, and you can control any toxin release by scrubbing it, because it's all right there.
That's what it
does. But it does produce carbon. I mean, it has to, it's a reaction. But because of that one factor, that's like the driver for people who don't understand science, who don't understand science and get emotional. So again, that's the frustration. So it makes it crazy.
I think the other thing is one of the pushbacks in the legislature was that we're burning plastics, right? Well, there's plastics in the system. So you're either gonna put them in a landfill and it's gonna take 1,000 years or 100 years, you know, grandkids, whatever, or you're burning them, you're burning an oil-based product and turning it into energy. So, you know, that's one of the, I understand their point there, but I'd rather get the energy out of them. And I think what we need to do, if we want to reduce plastics in our system, let's go back to the manufacturers and say, what's your incentive to reduce this plastic manufacturing?
Great. So it looks like you've gotten a raise. There's a timber lawsuit.
I wish it was my raise.
To help the citizens.
The citizens.
To help the citizens. Yeah. And it looks like a $1 billion award right now. If it's fought over longer, theoretically it's $90 million a year in interest or some high amount. Comments?
Yeah, it's just that verdict came out on all four counts. It was in our favor, basically. It was a class action lawsuit with, I forget how many counties were in it. It's interesting, the largest county
said they didn't join, right?
But I just got the numbers again. I was at a Forest Trust Land meeting yesterday morning. Just got the numbers. State Forest this fiscal year will give Marion County about $8 million. When you think of our all funds budget being $100 million, that's $8 million that we can use. But the problem, the challenge is it's not consistent. 2 years ago it was $1 million. This year it's $8
million. Right.
And that's part of what that lawsuit is for them, the contract was for them to manage that on a consistent basis, on a sustainable basis, and to use the revenues back to the counties to help with the public safety needs that we have. I mean, we could use, if we could get that consistently, even if it was $6 million a year, we could do some things in public safety that we're trying to struggle with, you know, the challenges in front of us. So that's a good thing. I know that it'll probably get appealed, but the interest that was part of the lawsuit is that if the state chooses to move down the road, saw the governor yesterday, she said congratulations, but she's not happy, so, we'll see.
Okay, so again, my comment as a citizen and pragmatic and thinking common sense is I did notice that I think the Secretary of State's office is $690 an hour per lawyer on the government side, state government side. And again, it's a little hard to stomach that you have law, you have warring government entities.
Right.
Now, this isn't the first time in America. This is, you know, federal and state and all that. But somehow it's a little troubling for lots of resources that are the citizens to ultimately end up in the legal system's pockets because the government can't work it out. You know, that's a little trouble. It's something, you know, and I understand why, because people are people. But it's just, whether it's ICE and the state local governments, whether it's the federal government, the state government, somehow we can't work it out outside of our own legal system.
Right.
And it's a little...
Using taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, I know. It makes you crazy. But anyway, that's America. That's what we live with. So that it's a little trouble.
Yeah. and we get unfunded mandates all the time
thrown at us that we have to implement.
Yeah.
So I know. So it's just crazy stuff. So now we'll jump rapidly to water.
Okay.
And so last year we had a water crisis, and that's kind of part of delivering water. And it's interesting because I have my, you know, I'm a doctor, so I like science, and I'm reading about cyanobacterium, which turns out to be the real culprit in blue-green algae. It's not really a plant. I thought it was a plant. And it turns out it's a photosynthetic bacterium. And for those of you who are interested in this, because if you have my mentality on this, is photosynthesis is taking CO2 from the air and then reacting it with water and turning it into oxygen. So actually, if you have this around in the right place, it's doing a good thing. It's sucking carbon out and turning and creating oxygen. That's great. Mm-hmm. But of course, if you get 2, 4, 6 inches of it and an animal or a person gets in there and ingests it, it'll like kill you off by ruining it. There's got toxins in it. And even obviously pregnant women and children were at risk. But again, so this is a natural substance in the environment. It's always there. And clearly, it's an amount issue. And it's one of those unforeseen challenges that you get. But again, what about our water system? All that? That's one issue. But what where are we at with water? Because reliable water, we have lots of water in Oregon, but clean water at the pipe.
We have a lot of water, and it goes right down to the Pacific Ocean. I've been talking about this, especially if you believe that temperatures are going to continue to rise, and we have this climate change, then we should be building more water storage. We should be doing that, especially here in Marion County, where we're the number one ag producer, and we need water to be able to. Ag producer in the state. So the one you're specifically speaking about though is Detroit, and that's the reservoir up there. And we've been getting algae blooms. I've been up there for 20 years, and we get algae blooms every year. And this one that happened that was detected with what'd you call that bacteria?
Cyanobacteria.
Okay, I just know that it's bad for you. And
if you
I swam it. In it anyway.
Don't drink it.
But yeah, I just don't drink it. So having that now known, the city has invested a lot of dollars, and along with the state. Yep. To put the purification systems in, but water in itself, besides the bacteria, is a huge issue. We just completed a water study. We joined up with Business Oregon and the Watershed Council and did a value of water study in our watershed area. I can get you a copy because you like that.
I like it.
You like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it shows you the value of what water is really worth to the ag community, to the fish, all those things. So I think the city is more on top of it now, obviously aware of it. Last year we didn't have the problem. We got through the summer without it, but they've raised, lowered the
level
of toxins before they make an alert, so raised the awareness of people. And I think, I'm not so sure that when you say it's carbon, there's this carbon, you know, we had those bad fires the year before. Mm-hmm. And who knows what came down in the watershed that caused that.
Sure.
But it typically happens that I'm aware of. It's usually like in that May area where we haven't had a lot of May or June, we haven't had a lot of rain. It's almost like a pond where you see a pond not moving and you get this sludge that sits on top of it. You can actually go up there in the water and you can see it floating through the water, these algae blooms.
Sure.
It's a matter of how much does it get diluted before it gets to Salem into our water supply.
Okay, fabulous. So again, first world, is you take your hose and you water your grass and water down your sidewalk, although not too much because we're conserving with water that you can drink. There's always that pushback saying we should have two kinds of water, the kind of dirtyish water we can't ingest that we can do these things with, and the water we want to use for our consumption. But first world, American first world, Oregon first world, is the water that comes out of your tap, whatever you do with it, is drinkable. And that takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. Don't minimize that. You got to keep sewage out, you got microorganisms, you have this whole delivery system. But again, that's a first world value that's worthwhile to hold on to. Yeah. And I applaud Commissioner Cameron and all the people in the government that work on that. They've done a great job with that because our water's great. So I think that that's about going to end our session. As you can see, we have a great public servant who is a successful business person, has just served the people. He's there to make your life better. We need more Kevin Camerons to lead us. And thank you for listening to Oregon Crossroads.